The second reading this morning makes me often think of the bumper stickers or those slogans that are used in a lot of church settings, because the second reading has the people of Corinth saying, I'm for Paul, I'm for Cephas, I'm for Christ. They had kind of portioned up Jesus' preaching and healing to the individual, and it was... And St. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, you don't do that. You don't parcel Christ up. It's not about us. It is only about Jesus. And so he's referring to their slogans. And one of the best church slogans I have seen in very modern times comes from our newest ordained priest. I'll have to ring him later and say I'm going to quote him, because it still just makes me laugh. You may know that down on our corner down here, I put in a big electronic sign, and I've actually got Boycott the Bun on it at the moment, if you have a look at it. The one that this young fellow put up, I just really like it, was Don't Make Me Put You In My Sermon. And I thought, that's actually very clever. It leads me into looking at Matthew's gospel today, connected very closely because it quotes the first reading from Isaiah as well. And this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Matthew is the one that gives us the heritage of Jesus, which was what we went through Christmas time. He's very detailed there in making sure that he links who Jesus is to the history of Israel, and that the history of Israel now turns a page. And this is a new creation. And Matthew uses all of these little signals, if you like, to guide his audience into that. And we are the recipient here today of those signals. The first thing is that we have Matthew saying that John the Baptist was in prison. So Jesus' first words as he begins his mission, his first words are, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." They are John the Baptist's words that he used to draw people into baptism. Now, when we use the word repent, it has three elements to it. It certainly means change. Don't be doing things the way that you do. But it means change your outlook, the way that you view the world and the way that you view people. Things are not the same now. And then he says, then we would say that with repent, it means also change your attitude. So the way that you observe things, and then the way that you and people, and then the way that you actually treat people. Change your attitude. And then thirdly, pardon me, the third element of repent is change your behaviour. So physically, stop doing those things which are destructive and start doing those things which are creative and life-giving. So when we talk about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand, they are the things that we remember: our outlook, our attitude, and our behaviour. Jesus' next words, well, we're told that he goes to Galilee. Now, Galilee comes from the Hebrew word for Galel, which means a circle. And where Galilee is, that's where it gets its name from, the circle, is right at the very top of Israel, Palestine, right at the very, very top. So it borders on Gentile and pagan territory. It even crosses into Assyria, which is why it gets mentioned in the scriptures, and that's where we think that Matthew's gospel was most probably written, in Assyria, in Antioch in Assyria. Now, so he's right up the top there, and Galilee means the circle. So what Matthew has done is he's actually put a spotlight on that, saying that Jesus' ministry and his presence is for the whole world. It's not just down in Jerusalem. It is for the whole world, including the non-Jewish world. So he brings us, you and I, into the frame by just the location. So we are not excluded because of something that happened in the past. Always look at the scriptures as, where am I in this scripture? Why are we using this? Otherwise, we're treating it simply as a history lesson or a geography lesson. And it's not. When Matthew says Galilee, he means up the north where the pagans and the non-Jews are. And that's where we come from. Not up north, but we come not from a Jewish heritage, as it were. That is part of our history, because Jesus himself was a Jew, but we come from outside of Judaism in the sense that we are not born as Jews. So we're invited straight away. Next thing he says, he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Now, for those who've been there, it's called the Sea of Galilee in biblical times, but it's a massive big lake. But for people who live in a desert, it's a sea in one sense, but not the ocean sense that you and I understand. And his first words are, "Follow me," by the Sea of Galilee. Now, when the word sea is mentioned in Scripture, and Matthew does it very well here, we go back to creation. So the sea always represents chaos. And that chaos exists until the Spirit of God breathes on the waters and brings into creation life and calmness and beauty. And so we have this scene being set at the sea where there is chaos. And now it is not the Spirit who breathes on the waters, it is Jesus. It is the Son of God himself breathing on the waters, bringing in a new creation. These images are used very specifically because the people will have understood sea, creation, chaos. Sea, creation, no more chaos because of Jesus. He is the breath of God in this sense, and he physically does that by calling two sets of brothers. And then he uses the word which is, in the Greek translation, it's akolutheo. And I'm not a Greek scholar, so don't pull me up on that. But akolutheo is where we get the word acolyte from, which means follow. And so Matthew is saying, through Jesus' words to these disciples, to you and I, follow me. The thing that we're asked to do is preach and heal. That's what we're asked to do. So at this part, right at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, and for us, we are simply asked to follow Jesus, to preach the good news and to heal. How do we heal? We repent. We change our outlook, we change our attitude, and we change our behaviour. In one sense, it's as simple as that. And in another sense, it's as challenging as that. Matthew has set the scene for Jesus' ministry, and he has set the scene for the call, or vocation, if you like. Now, most of us, during the course of our life, have probably never experienced a specific tap on the shoulder where you have that eyes wide open moment where you understand clearly that God has called you into this. Because as you read Matthew's gospel here at the beginning, it is not the two sets of brothers that initiate this, it is Jesus himself. God calls us, we respond. We may respond by repenting, outlook, attitude and behaviour. But it's always God's initiative. And it's very important as we understand that at the beginning of Matthew's gospel and in my life, it is God's initiative. He calls me. But what's he calling me to? How do I demonstrate to those who have no faith whatsoever? How do I demonstrate that I am a follower of Jesus? That I am prepared to preach, I am prepared to heal. How do we demonstrate that in our life? This gospel should draw us into a sense of mission. We should be saying, well, what am I doing or what can I do, what am I going to do to demonstrate to the world, to my family, to my neighbourhood, to this city, to the world. Concentrate on Australia Day, and India's National Day also this Thursday. How would anybody ever know that I was a follower of Christ outside of the regular Mass times in this church when I'm dressed up like a Christmas tree? How would anybody ever know? And you may well ask yourselves the same question. That may well be one reason why, when it comes to reading the gospel and to you listening to the gospel,
you actually stand. You sit for the first readings, the psalm in the liturgy, but when it comes to the gospel, you actually stand. Why would you do that, do you think? Well, for me, I think it represents our readiness to respond, to go where we are called. We are standing ready to go where God calls us in our life, like the two sets of brothers. We want to follow. We want to change our ways. I'll say it again, our outlook, our attitude, and our behaviour. And that symbolism of us standing, listening to the highest portions that are in Scripture through the Gospels, because they are the most connected to the Apostles, we give that dignity, but it also puts us in a mindset of being prepared to respond. You may well keep that in mind next time you stand to listen to the Gospel. Why am I standing? The Gospel is calling me to do something. What is it calling me to do, and how am I going to respond to that call?